Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Kings chapter 4, and then we'll read Jude verse 3. A lot of verses here. The stand on the inside. No need to stand up, please, just for tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem. Where'd he go? Shunem. And there was a notable woman, New King James. And she persuaded him to come eat some food. Can't imagine that was too hard. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in and eat some food. That's because it was really good food. Because you're not turning back in to eat some gruel that tastes like painful to eat, chicken that tastes like wood, and so on and so forth. No, she threw down some vittles. I just have a feeling it might have been some Louisiana cooking. What do y'all think? I think maybe it's possible. Maybe somebody said, no, it's Italian food. Whatever it was, prophet guy came back to get more of it. And she said to her husband, now look, this is a holy man of God who passes by this way regularly. Verse 10, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it'll be that whenever he comes, he can turn in there. It happened one day as he came, he turned into the upper room and he lay down. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, in other words, he's talking to Gehazi, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? What do you want me to speak on your behalf for the king or to the commander of the army? She said, I dwell among my own people. So he said, then what can be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son. And her husband's old. Everybody know what that means. Okay. Verse 15. So he said, call her. Now I'm a paraphrase for a little bit. He promises her a baby. She says, don't do it. Don't say that. And it's because it was the deepest desire of her heart. And in the course of time, she has her child. The baby basically is out in the field with the father. We don't know. It's a period of years that passed by in just a few verses. We don't know how old he is. He has a headache in the midst of the harvest. Some say it was sunstroke. They don't know. She prays for him and the boy dies. The boy dies and she goes and she puts him in the room, puts him on the bed of the prophet. Looks at verse 21. She went up, put him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door and went out. And she called her husband, didn't tell her husband anything, goes to see the prophet. And we're going to look at these verses here in just a moment. This lady couldn't be stopped. I've entitled this message, Fight, Fight, Fight. If you're going to see God bring you through into your promised land, you're going to have to fight. But it's, I made it three fights on purpose because, one, I just remember Trump going, fight, fight, fight. I like that. I was going to put the picture up, but that would offend all the people. And anyway. Fight, fight, fight. But it really is a picture of what you have to do. You have to fight, but you don't stop fighting. You keep fighting. And when you've done that, you continue to fight. You contend. You believe. Jude verse 3. Put it up on the screen if you would. Jude is only one chapter, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you or urging you to contend. There's the word contend. To contend. earnestly for the faith which is once and delivered for all the saints. You know what? I like verse 4 too, so just go ahead and put it up. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for their condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling them to fight. He's telling them contend, because there's an enemy that comes to sow gangrenous teaching. There's an enemy of your soul. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he's been cast down, as it says in the book of Revelation. He's a defeated foe, but you have to enforce the finished work of Jesus. So what are you saying? I'm telling you, as we look at this text and apply it to your life, in the midst, almost about halfway through our prayer and fasting, you must learn to fight, fight, fight. And that's what this lady does. She just doesn't immediately plan the funeral for her boy. She begins to fight. And we have to fight. You know what we have to fight for? I see three things we have to fight for right now. One, we have to fight for accurate doctrine. It is very important that your faith is based on the word. I've had people say, well, I'm not convicted about such and such and so, but clearly in the word, you should be convicted, but something's wrong with their convictor. Something's wrong with their conscience. It's a little seared. See, people don't take the word of God as the ultimate authority. So if they feel like they just want to do something, well, I can just do it. My heart, I just feel good in my heart about it. Ma'am, brother, sir, no matter what age you are, your heart will deceive you. Don't follow your heart. That's the stupidest advice that I've ever heard. You don't follow your heart. You follow God, and you know who God is by his word. You love God, you'll obey his word, and you'll end up in the place of blessing. If you follow your heart, you're going to end up, his heart did not want to go to Emmaus. But his heart was to obey God, and he did. It was a beautiful story of submission to God. Many people don't really submit to God. You have to contend. You have to fight. You've got to trust God. Three areas. One, doctrine. Got to know the word. That's why we have all the things that we have. All these life groups. We are of a current goal, 100 teams, 300 life groups. Come on, somebody say 100 teams, 100 teams, 300 life groups. We hit 221 life groups as a high water mark for us, for which we are thrilled. We're now pushing on to 300. Why would you even do that? Because if this is the only feeding you get all week, it's not enough. You need to learn to be a self-feeder, but it's powerful to have these groups. And to, you know, we had life groups visiting people in hospitals this week. And people in the hospital, certain ones seem like they're going to go be with the Lord here pretty soon. I send my love out to Pastor Robert Sahagun. Pastor Robert Sahagun's mom died at 4:30 this afternoon. And was a precious lady who was so kind to my wife and I in our first pastorate away from Maui. And she went to go be with Jesus. And I called Pastor Robert and we wept and cried. It was a woman who studied the word all the time, was in these groups and helping to lead classics and different things like that. You must know the word. We got to contend for the word. Contend for what? Doctrine. Contend for right doctrine, because there's a lot of nonsense out there. The second thing I think we need to contend for is really a biblical way of living, holiness and purity. And I think the third thing that we need to contend and fight for here in Jude, and you'll see this lady in 2 Kings 4, who she fights for her promise for her son. We need to contend and fight for the power of God. Do you know how much pressure there is on pastors around America to just dumb it down and it's too intense, and just behave yourself? I threw my towel in on that long ago. I was never that way. I got radically touched by God. I'm not going to try to fit anybody's opinion of the way I should be. There needs to be a radical fighting, a fight, fight, fight for God's power in your life. Don't settle for impotence. Don't settle for brokenness. Don't ever tolerate that which Jesus came to die on a cross and set you free from. You can get healed. You can be whole. You can see the power of God put on display. I don't care who you are, or where you come from. If you've received Jesus, and these signs will follow them that believe. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They shall recover. You pray with new tongues, the power of God. You got to fight for the power of God. We prayed this morning. God, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Come on, say it. pour out your spirit. There's a fighting for that. And there's pressure from the world and pressure from people who think you should. Jude exhorted them to fight for, as leaders, fight earnestly, to contend earnestly for the faith. Right doctrine, holiness, living rightly before God, I think is the second thing to me. And then the third thing is really for the power of God. Got to have a clear vision and desire for that. Are you ready to look at 2 Kings 4? Something that Pastor Austin said during the offering caught me felt God on what he was saying. Talked about persecution. He said that's another message and stepped right over it because it is another message. But I will tell you, there's reproach, there's persecution for being on fire for God. You'll have people that love you and people that hate your guts. We're accused of all kinds of stuff. Can you believe they took another offering? Go smoke your weed and see how it works out. Actually, I bind that foul spirit of greed and your weed, and I pray you be set free. That's a better heart, isn't it? Is that better? Okay. I'm not going to apologize for what's in Scripture. I'm not going to apologize for living crazy on fire for God. We had someone say to me, I can't come to your church. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Is everything okay? And I thought I would have to repent, which I seem to do every week for other things. Sometimes, you know, we blow it, different things like that. I don't mean like hardcore sin. I just mean maybe something's not done quite right. There's no perfect church. Again, we're endeavoring to get there. Come on, somebody say amen. By the way, if you haven't given us a Google review, go ahead and do it. Give us 5 stars, even if you only think we're 3. So you could just prophesy 5. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all without calling the office. Let's give us a chance to fix it. Don't put it some permanent thing. Every time I say that, I have some person put a 1 star up and say, I can't believe. Well, you're listening, aren't you, though? What was I saying? I don't know. Lift your hands. Jesus. This ain't correction. Oh, yeah. So the guy said, I can't come. I said, how come? And he said, it's too happy. We all are just like, everybody's smiling. I wanted to say sorry, but I mean, my gosh. Go to the twice dead pulled up from the roots church if you want to. It's not a good idea. And reference is not exhibited by somebody being quiet, somber, and looking like you're baptized in some sort of citrus. That's not reverence. Reverence is a deep, abiding love and holy fear for God that is also expressed in joy. Yeah, there's peaceful moments too. All right. Let's pray for me right now. Father, I'm fasting and I need your help. The Lord, right now, come. I was going to say something, but I can't remember what I was saying. Because I remember something I needed to fix last Wednesday. So I'll just go there. Pastor Karen was online last Wednesday. She said, I couldn't tell what you were preaching last Wednesday. You were all over the place. I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to jump all over the place. We are going to get to 2 Kings 4. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Amen? Okay. I said something about spiritual mapping that I didn't finish, and I want to finish it. I was talking about spiritual mapping. Raise your hand if you know what that is. Some of you ought to know because you're here last week. I talked about it a little bit, but I never brought it home. And as I was praying, I felt like, man, I need to bring that home. Spiritual mapping is a term that was coined by, Dr. Morocco had a role in that, but there's others. George Otis Jr., wrote a great book called The Last of the Giants. There's another one called, I think, Why Darkness Tarries. Or anyway, it's viewed as you pray in an area and you get, there's a number of ways to find out ruling, leading, besetting sins. The word is besetting sins. In an area, by visiting people, by talking, by praying, by walking, discerning. Once you understand, like I told you, I was visiting homes and I began to realize what a Japanese house looked like. because it's Japanese. Now, I love Japan, and I love the Japanese, and I love all cultures, and I hate sin. When you look in a Japanese home, you can tell it's a Japanese house. How's that? Because it's just really tight and clean, and the grass and the gravel and the bushes and the house, with the way the lines are, the way the roof lines are, you can just tell it has this Asian Japanese feel to it. And then when I would knock on the door, a Japanese descendant would answer. In other words, somebody who had moved to, in that case, the Hawaiian Islands, maybe a generation ago. And you could tell that was, and then we'd have these little concrete, little bless me shacks out front, but it's not biblical. It's really demonic. And so a bless me shack. Anyway, so you could see. And so you could tell that Buddhism was a ruling belief in that area of that part of Maui. But if you go to another part of Maui, they're all Portuguese. And they're all Catholic. Every one of them's Catholic. You go and you see Jesus on the cross, you see Catholicism, you see rosaries, you see stuff. Everybody understand? So spiritual mapping views and discerns what's taking place in a region, in a culture, in an area, and then you can begin to pray with biblical authority, tearing down strongholds and keeping people from serving Jesus. Does that make sense? I just felt like I didn't quite hit it home, and I'm sure there's others who can do a better job. I started talking about reproach and persecution. When you contend for your promise, okay, I'm bringing the tie-in, I'm back. When you fight for your promise like this lady does, when you fight like Jude talks about for doctrine, as I'm talking about holiness, purity, power, you're gonna have people that don't like you. You're gonna have people that think you're a nut job. You're gonna have people that think like, oh gosh, you're a little over the top, can you relax? The guy says to you, I don't like this church, you're too happy. I had somebody else say to me, man, you guys are pretty extra. And I thought, well, awesome. You see, when your heart's awakened to the reality of what Jesus has done, this is not some religious duty we're trying to, this is not some religious thing we're trying to do, as I said during worship, that we check a box, I went to church. No, we're worshiping the living God who's here and studying his word here specifically in a moment and contending and fighting for our promise. Fight, fight, fight. And when you do that, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have challenge. All right. Let me give you some background. Elijah received an inherited mantle from his master Elijah. The mantle is a picture of the anointing and the power of God on his life. He goes to a place called Shunem, which we looked at verse 8, and there's a notable woman or a wealthy woman, family, that are there. He stops in, she feeds him, she can cook, or somebody can cook because he comes back for another meal, and they decide, you know what, let's bless the man, let's do something, and they make an extra house for him on the wall. They have a construction project for the man of God. It's a man for the man of God, the prophet of God. And so he's coming and he stays there and he naps and he says, you know what? I got to do something for her. And so he wants to do something for her, but he doesn't know what to do. He wants to reward her generosity. And so what happens is Gehazi, the servant, says she has no son. He's like, well, let's take care of that. And she's like, don't do it. Don't say it's so. He says, by this time next year. And she does. She has a child. Time passes, child grows. Y'all with me? Time passes, child grows. He ends up has a headache. We don't know what that means. Heat stroke. I don't know. I don't know what happens, but he dies. And it's not like he falls asleep. He dies. She prays. She takes her miracle boy that was given to her by God through a prophetic word, and she lays him on the prophet's bed where he rested. It was a picture of either, God, you're coming through for me to heal this boy. Either this boy is going to be a tomb or there's going to be a resurrection, but I'm looking back to you to bring about my breakthrough. When you fight, you've got to continually return to the Lord when you go through discouragement and difficulty. You'll go through difficulty if you quit. then you're never going to cross over the finish line. You're never going to get your boy back. Can I say it that way? You need to fight. You need to fight. You need to fight. And there's a lot of this in this story. She seeks out Elijah. She doesn't go on Facebook. She doesn't go on Instagram. She doesn't go on TikTok. She doesn't make a reel about how sad it is that her boy's dead. She doesn't do any of that. She runs after the man of God. She runs after him. Gehazi stops her. Is everything right? He's like, all is well. All is well. She doesn't even tell Gehazi. But when she gets to the prophet, she throws herself at his feet and she wraps her arms around his legs and touches him and weeps. Now that is like serious no-no. You would never do that. That is completely breaking all protocol. You know what I've found is that protocol in the kingdom is broken when people are desperate, hungry, and broken, and it really doesn't matter. I've been in services like this where all of a sudden someone was so overcome with their grief and their sorrow that they literally charged running up front and hit the front weeping. If that happened here, believe me, we'd just keep moving on. That wouldn't be an interruption. Sometimes interruptions are miracles. And when you're really hungry and thirsty, you don't really give a flip what anybody thinks about you. When you're desperate, oh, I've told stories before. One of my favorite ones is watching my oldest, my daughter Hannah, she's now 26. She was born, she had a problem with her lungs and she had a problem with her heart, and they made some mistakes and she flatlined. Her heart stopped. And they had to do this procedure. They couldn't get it done. They had to intubate her, but they couldn't. They couldn't get the tube down her throat. And I watched my first born daughter with my beautiful wife, Karen. I watched her arc on a procedural table. They had blinds that were down so nobody could see, and they wouldn't let me in, but one blind was kinked. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you peeping Toms, you know what I'm talking about. Be delivered in Jesus' name. There's a kink. You kind of look through. And I'm looking through and I'm watching my daughter literally arc. They have four nurses, one on each leg and arm. And my daughter is arcing off the table as they're trying to push this tube down their throat and it wouldn't go in. And I saw it once, twice. I'm praying and I've lost my mind in prayer. I'm in a waiting room. And I can't model what it looked like because it'd be too loud and ugly. I'm talking spitting, crying, screaming. My mother, who is even more intense than I am, came and said to me, "You need to calm down." This is what she said. I said, "Oh yeah?" I said, "Look at that." And she goes, she just walked off, went some other place, made more noise than I did. There's times where you need to make noise. There's times where you need to fight. There's times where you need to contend. And at that moment, I was going to go stop it because you're not touching my daughter like that one more time. God's going to heal her. I went to leave and go break into the room. Seriously, I was way more aggressive when I was younger. And the Lord said, 10 minutes. Give them 10 minutes. That was like an eternity, 9 minutes, 45 seconds. And they got that tube in. And when they did, and I'm praying in tongues outside the whole time, when they did, the doctor lifted his hands. And I saw that as an act of worship. If I didn't fight for that, maybe my daughter would have died. I don't know. I just know that there's times where you need to do everything you can and then keep doing it and don't stop. And if people don't like you, who cares? Fight, fight, fight. When the tube went in, I don't think I passed out, but I wound up on the floor. I was on the floor. I didn't really realize I was on the floor. And then I hear, "Are you okay?" And I open my eyes and it's the MD for Karen and the baby. He's looking at me. I was like, "Yeah, I am now." He took my hand and he helped me up. Have you fought like that? You ever fought like that? Some people have an unbiblical view of God's sovereignty. You just think that God's going to come through because he's good. You have to understand that we're in a war. He's going to come in because he's good. Yeah, he is good, and I love his sovereignty, but there's certain things that God won't do unless I step up and hit the ball, unless I step and pray the prayer, take the step of faith, unless I, you know, obey and fly over and a month away from your brand new wife. Who does that? Someone who's in submission to God, that's who. Someone who's contending and fighting for God's plan, God's purpose. Who does that? Someone who really believes that God has spoken to them. She wrapped her arms around and said, I don't even want this baby. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, putting some words in the Shunammite's mouth. You said you're the one. He sends his staff. She fought for her miracle. She lays the boy in the room. She doesn't tell the husband. She goes. He tells the prophet. The prophet, Gehazi tries to pull her off. He sends his staff, the rod of God, the rod of the prophet of God, and runs ahead. There's a persistence that has to take place. I had an encounter with God, and I'm going to tell you about that. In a section of it. So that as it happens, you'll know that it was God. I was in my office last week. I had a very intense meeting, working things out without giving you details. And I got to the end of myself. That's a great place when you get to the end of yourself. I got through that meeting. We concluded. I hung up the video call and I began to pace around in my office praying in tongues. And I began to pace around praying in tongues and just saying, God, you brought us here. And I'm tongues and then English and tongues and English and tongues and English. And all of a sudden, I felt something like a wheel within a wheel just begin to turn in my spirit. It's something I've sensed. I don't know how to put words to it because I'm big on the word. Your experience cannot contradict the word. And the word can't contradict your experience, but you don't exactly find certain things in here the way the Spirit of God works on the inside of you. And so for me, I can only tell you what my experience is. It's this gift of faith that happens. There's a certain sense that I feel in my spirit. It's like a wheel within a wheel. And I only know that it is a gift of faith and it's supernatural because of all the fruit that have happened all the other times that I had that experience. So in other words, this is not the first time it's happened. It's happened many times here in this building project in my own life. Something happens, and then this prayer just bellows out of my spirit to God. And it's just like, I don't know, it's like a bell gets rung. And then joy hits me. In that particular instance, I prayed for a release of supernatural provision. And I prophesied that over this place was coming this portal. Pastor Karen saw it years ago. I prophesied, there is a portal. It is opening. Lift your hands if you have business right now. Receive this. There is a release of supernatural provision. If you don't have a business, raise your hand. If you want to partake in the supernatural provision of God, believe with me. Believe. There is a supernatural release of provision way bigger, way larger, more than anyone here could possibly understand. There is a release of provision to move the vision forward. I am doing it, says the Lord. The portal's open. It is open. There's a pipeline flowing straight to you to get it done. And I just said, amen. Now that just doesn't happen with one nice little morning prayer meeting. There's a contending. There's a fight. Fight. You have to persevere. What happens in this text? Anybody know what happens? What happens is the stick didn't work. Nice thought. Great, great thought. Maybe you put your stick on something else that was dead and it got up. But the boy doesn't get up. And you've got to continue. What's next? The prophet shows up. And the prophet, and you look at what he does. You look at how this man is raised. Verse 32. You see, the woman had to fight, but the prophet had to fight also. Verse 32, when Elijah came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. Verse 33, he went in therefore and shut the door behind the two of them. and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay on this child, mouth to his mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And he stretched out himself on the child. I mean, that's awkward. And the flesh of the child became warm. We do not know how long that is. We just know that he did it. He returned and walked back and forth. So that's one method. He did the stick method. It didn't work. He stretched his hand, stretched himself over the child. Body begins to get warm. But you can, come on, you can put your hand on a frozen post. It's going to get starting to get warm, right? I mean, eventually. And he gets up. He's like, shaka, ta, 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 bahana. He's not praying in tongues. But he is anointed. Prophets were anointed. Kings were anointed. Priests were anointed. In the New Testament, everybody can be anointed. Come on, somebody say everybody. He paces back and forth. In other words, like, okay, stick didn't work. Tried that light on thing. That didn't work. This boy's getting up. He's getting up. He's getting up. He's getting up. Boy's getting. The boy's getting up. Just messing with my camera guy. You're awesome. He tried different strategies. You know, it's not the same every time. Again, he went up and stretched himself out. And then the child sneezed 7 times. Ooh, dead child now sneezing. That's a good sign. Life. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi. Called the Shunammite woman. He called her. She came to him and he said, pick up your son. Do you know who they say that is? Can't prove it currently. I read it somewhere. It could be, perhaps, it's Jonah. It's an interesting thought. Who knows what happens at the end of your contending, your fighting, your believing, your fight. I'm telling you, don't quit. I mean, quit to me is a curse word. I got it from my dad. It was just this phrase that he said once. Brackens don't quit. Well, real Christians don't quit either. That's the truth. I told my son, it's in him. Somebody say, oh, that's just a cultural thing. No, it's not. It's a Christian thing. You don't quit on the promise. And if you learn to stand, the promise will come to pass. Oh, it might not be with the stick that you laid down. It might not be the first time you lied on top of that thing. It might not be even the second time. There's a plan that God has, and you got to fight for it. You fight in prayer. You fight through giving. You fight through the death to your flesh. You fight through keys, please. You fight through. Whole worship team, please. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, say, I'm a fight. Don't have an unbiblical view of God's, of your role in God's plan. He partners with us. I've gotten concerned about marriages. People just quit. Now, there's reasons to get divorced, and there's reasons, breaking of covenant. But don't ever come to me. I'm just telling you, don't come to me unless you'd like real good biblical counsel, which I'll give you on the spot. I've fallen out of love. Because that's, what is that? Love has nothing, you don't fall. It's an expression we have. Love, how do we know what love is? That one man laid down his life for another. I promise you, if you live in such a way that you're laying down your life for your spouse, then you're doing your biblical responsibility to have a healthy marriage. You missed a great place to say amen. All right. Again, there's reasons for divorce. I understand it. I'm divorced. Was divorced. I went through a divorce. You should see the whole room just tilted. So I'll go over here. Let me say that again. I got divorced. I was married at 21 and got divorced by the time I was 23. 23 and a half. I don't know. Got divorced in 1992 and then got gloriously saved. Divorce is painful and it's difficult. And she divorced me, which I would have divorced me also. I've been divorced from all of that and grafted into the kingdom. Come on, somebody say amen. It's before I got saved. I'm born again. And it's a long, long time ago. So Karen is the wife of my youth. What a beautiful thing. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your promise. Don't throw in the towel because it didn't happen yet. And you'll be tested. Every vision is tested. You're always going to go through a test. You're always going to go through it. So when you face obstacle, if it's a real vision from God, then it won't go away. And you continue to contend. You continue to pray. We're going to plant a church in Juneau. Mayor Edna's going to pastor it. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to plant a church in Juneau. You know why? Because Juneau needs a church like ours. And where else are you going to find? Everyone else God tells us to. We're planting churches in France. When? I don't know. We're going to plant churches in England. We're going to plant churches in India. India's going to blow up. I get this call from Pakistan today. You're like, really? Yeah. And there's so many scams out there, so you just got to watch out. These guys have been trying to get a hold of me for like a year. A whole year. And I thought it was somebody else, and I answered the phone about 6 months ago. And this young man says to me something like, "Man of God, thank you so much for taking my call." I'm like, "Who's this?" It was on WhatsApp. "Who's this?" "Oh, my name is so-and-so. We're from Pakistan. Please, please hear me. We've been watching your preaching. We know you're a man of God. Please, would you just please talk to me? Can we just talk? Would you bring a message over video?" I said, "Yeah, you know, thanks. I'm real busy." And I just felt like, oh, it's a scam. The only thing is, they didn't quit. I mean, like, call after call after call after call after call. So I started doing some background. They're legitimate. I mean, they're like, it's this movement in Pakistan. So I talked to him today, and I have a meeting tomorrow morning. I don't know what's happening. I just told him, "You're not getting any money from us. Just, you know, I don't want anything from you, but just letting you." He says, we don't want any money. We want the anointing." Started saying all kinds of things. "We've been watching. Watch out one message. We all got touched. We're having 30,000 people will come to our crusade in February. Can you please come? Please come." I said, "I can't. That's when my crusade is. It's 50,000 people." "Amen." No. I didn't say that. It was right at the time of our power conference. I'm going to talk with them tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know, but I discern maybe God is doing something. So I'll pray and I'll walk circumspectly, knowing that the devil prowls around. We're going to take the nations. Now, the reason we're doing Juneau, I'm putting some heat on Juneau. We got Anchorage. Anchorage open. Good. We'll open more in Anchorage. The reason we're going to Juneau is because Dr. Morocco looked at me yesterday. He said, "Pastor Daniel, put a church in Juneau." I'm like, "Was that a command?" "Yes." I'm like, "Okay." So whoever's supposed to pastor that thing better come and talk to me, because I don't have any. Maybe it's you. Who knows? He ain't even shaking my hand. He ain't even shaking my hand. "It ain't me. Shut up. Move on." You got a great bald head right there. Look, it's the two milk duds. I don't know how we're going to do it. But you get a vision from God and you begin to contend. You've wanted to go to Africa for how long? Your whole life. Am I right? And you're going. God opened up a way. You're going on a mission to Africa. I'm so proud of you. I wish we put it together before you jumped on that leather chain, but I'm really glad that you're going with a great team of people to Africa. What has God put in your heart? What is the dream that you have? What is it? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to lay that thing on the bed and to move forward and to contend, to fast, to pray, to believe God, not just for doctrine, not just for holy living and for the power of God, but for your promise, for the promise. God is raising up people who will contend and pray and fight. It does not just happen. God won't do your part. It is an unbiblical thing for you to expect God to do it all and then you don't do it. You've got to show up. You've got to pray. You've got to submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You've got to contend. You've got to fight, fight, fight. Lift your hands to Jesus.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.